All right, welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Thursday, June 15th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. Got a great interview coming up for you and also some hard-hitting news. Got a question for you, though, right up front. I'm strongly thinking about doing a little format change here. I want to know what you think about it. I want to do just the interviews with other people on video in the studio, but I actually prefer, in terms of the regular broadcast part where I'm covering the headlines and so on and I'm doing commentary, I prefer that to be audio only. I think, and this is my take on it, but you let me know what you think. I think the audio only is better. I think it's more fun. I think it's more dynamic. I think it's more informative because I'm not distracted by all the cameras and all the lights and stuff, whatever's going on in the studio. There's a lot going on. And there's crew there, and I have to manage the crew, you know, and tell them about camera angles and things like that. It's just, you know, frankly, just podcasting audio only is so much simpler. It's cleaner. It's more pure. It's less distracting. And I would prefer to just do it this way. But again, when I'm interviewing somebody, we would do that on camera because that requires a more visual medium. But it's more them talking than myself. But you let me know what you think, please, in the comments under today's video on Brighttown.com. And just give me a vote. You know, do you like it all video or do you like it the way I'm doing it now, which is audio combined with a video interview? Just let me know. Appreciate your feedback on that. And by the way, if you missed my interview with J.D. Rucker, which was on yesterday, oh, you do not want to miss that. I've had a lot of positive feedback about that. It's like, hey, two guys who actually know their stuff talking, you know, going into the deep layers of reality. Had a lot of great feedback. So definitely check out that interview and shout out to J.D. Rucker on that. He's doing such a great job at thelibertydaily.com, which is, it's so funny. I told him on the show, I said, that's my favorite news aggregation site. I even like it more than my own, which is true. He does a great job. He and his the owner of the Liberty Daily, who I'm not sure that he does interviews, but anyway, they're doing a great job there. I just want to give them a shout out. Good stuff. Very good. Okay. Something else. I remember how I did the lab test on the water filters a couple weeks ago. Well, I never publish an article with those lab test results because I got busy. You know, and I got injured and, you know, things happened, got in the way. I never got it done. So I've finally done that. And if you go to naturalnews.com right now, you should see it as the top story. Here's the title I have. Nuclear fallout exclusive. We tested 28 water filters in the lab for their ability to remove cesium. And these six outperformed all the rest. And there in that article, I list the six water filters that actually did the best, removing 99.98% or better of the cesium, which, of course, could be theoretically radioactive cesium, you know, cesium-137 in fallout scenarios. And by the way, I quote the CDC in that story. Check this out. The CDC says, internal exposure to cesium-137 through ingestion or inhalation allows the radioactive material to be distributed in the soft tissues, especially muscle tissue. Exposing these tissues to the beta particles and gamma radiation and increasing cancer risk. Yeah, so in other words, if you drink water contaminated with cesium-137 in an aftermath of a fallout event, you know, nuclear terrorism, nuclear war, whatever, dirty bomb, that cesium, it mimics potassium and sodium, by the way, in your physiological pathways. And that cesium-137, the radioactive form, ends up in the cell membranes in your body's tissues, which means it's now irradiating you at point-blank range from the inside, which will give you cancer so fast. It's the most radiotoxic substance known to fall out from a nuclear event. I mean, it's super deadly. So that is some bad juju. If you get cesium-137 in your muscles, whew, man, you know, because it's emitting beta and gamma radiation constantly. It's losing half its mass in 29 years, and that mass is converted to radiation. And that's why it's so deadly if you have it in you. But anyway, the water filters can take this out of water. And I know I already talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but something I wanted to add to that that you may not have thought about. This really deserves, I mean, really, open your mind and be ready to grasp this. Because radiation is kind of confusing to a lot of people. It's invisible, you know, they're not really sure where it's coming from, let's say. But here's the thing. Did you know that water itself cannot be made radioactive just by exposing it to radiation? Now, I know somebody's going to argue on the margins there's some extremely rare radioisotope of oxygen. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying H2O can't be made radioactive just by exposing it to radiation. And so if you have radioactive water, yes, it can in some very specific rare cases. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in a fallout scenario. If you have radioactive water, it's because there are particles in the water which are radioactive. Now, why are there particles in the water? Well, because suspended particles in water make a colloid. That's what the word colloidal means when you talk about colloidal silver. You know, where's the silver? Well, it's all over. It's all in the water. And it's being dispersed and suspended in the water. And that's called, you know, colloidal silver. Well, if you have radioactive cesium-137 particles in your water, you basically have colloidal cesium. Have you ever thought about it that way? Colloidal cesium. That makes your Geiger counter go crazy. Colloidal cesium, it doesn't mean the water is radioactive. It's the cesium that's radioactive. And in a similar way, if I put silver ions in water, have I turned the water into silver? No. The water is water. The silver is the silver. The silver is just dispersed in the water. It's suspended in the water. And that's it. So, maybe this is obvious. Maybe you think I'm sounding too simple in all of this. But there are a lot of people who think that water itself can be made radioactive, which is just not the case. It's like if you take green beans and put them in the microwave, and you nuke them in your microwave for 5 minutes or whatever, if you pull the green beans out of the microwave, do those green beans emit microwave radiation? No, they do not. They do not. The green beans have not been made radioactive green beans. Now, yes, the microwaves may have destroyed nutrients in the green beans, especially delicate nutrient molecules. So microwaves do destroy nutrition, but they don't make the green beans radioactive. Or even, let's say this, if I take oranges and I chuck them into Chernobyl for a day, just like blast them with radiation, and then I bring the oranges out, are those oranges radioactive oranges just from being exposed? No, the answer is no. No, they are not. Unless you roll them in cesium dust or something, in which case, again, it's the particles, it's the contaminants that are radioactive, not the oranges. So think about this with water. It's exactly the same thing. Water is not radioactive. It's the stuff in it that is. So that's why water filters remove, quote, radioactivity from water, because they're just removing the pollutants. That's it. That's how it works. And that's why even common everyday water filters can do this. You don't need a special filter that is, you know, advertised as removing radiation from water. No, you just need a water filter that removes particles, which is like the Zero water filter does that. It removes lead. It removes, well, some chemicals too, like chlorine, but it also removes radioactive cesium, among other things. All right, so you might ask, because you hear this in the media, you hear stories all the time where they say, in Fukushima, they're about to release, what's the phrase you hear? Radioactive water into the ocean. This is what confuses people. The media, they use this phrase all the time, radioactive water, even though really that's not what it is. But you might wonder, why would they release radioactive water if they could just filter it out with just giant water filters? and then just release clean water. Why aren't they doing that? And the answer is they could do that. They just don't want to. I mean, number one, it's a large amount of water, so it would require a lot of filtration, and then it would concentrate the cesium and other radioisotopes in the filtration media. And then they would still have to figure out how to dispose of that. And that filtration media, having concentrated all the radioisotopic pollution particles into one place, would be highly radioactive. They'd be concentrating the radiation in one place, right? Whereas what they say is that, as it goes in scientific circles, the solution to pollution is dilution. That's what they say. And so they want to keep the radiation diluted so that it's a lower level, so they don't have to report higher levels of radiation. No, they can just keep it. It's low level, barely above background. Why? Because it's spread out across all this water. And then they want to dump it in the ocean, which they say is even more of a solution for the pollution because it's big time dilution of the whole ocean. And that's their solution, is to just dump it in the ocean. See how, you know, nuclear engineer scientists work? It's like, whatever radiation they have, they're just like, spread it everywhere, and then it's good. That's literally the way they think. So that's why they're not filtering it when they release the water into the ocean. And then also there's the nefarious agenda of maybe they want to hurt people. Maybe they want the oceans to be irradiated. Maybe this is all part of the agenda to make Earth a less safe place for complex organisms to live on, you know? And that's probably some element of truth to that as well. They're nefarious governments and industry leaders and so on, and corporation leaders, and they don't give a crap. They probably want to hurt you. I mean, these are the same kind of people that built the vaccines and the bioweapons, gain of function, mRNA jabs. Yeah, they are trying to kill you, so why wouldn't they release more radiation into the ocean? I mean, think about it. And more pesticides in the food, by the way. And more chemtrails in the sky. I mean, you name it, this is what they do. They're trying to kill you, so of course they're going to release more radioisotopes into the oceans. And, you know, contaminate all the ocean food and fish and seaweed and everything they can. This is a planetary scale annihilation attempt by a bunch of anti-human lunatics. But you already knew that. Now, one thing that's interesting to me, we're moving on to the next news item here, is that a lot more people around the world, they see the lunacy of the globalists, of the banking cartels, the medical cartels, the science cartels, the speech cartels, you know, the government elitists with all their rigged elections and their private jets and all this nonsense. A lot more people are seeing that and pushing back against it. It's happening globally. And that pushback takes many, many different forms. And one of those forms comes to us in the following headline, which is, this one comes from Hal Turner. Here it is. Hackers promise to destroy Europe's banking system in the next 48 hours. Now, perhaps by the time you hear this, there may only be 36 hours remaining on that or even less, but according to Hal's coverage here, several computer hacker groups with a long track record of highly effective and devastating computer attacks have announced, quote, the strongest cyber attack in history to bring down European banks within the next 48 hours. Now, let's pause there for a second and just contemplate this. Is any hacking even necessary? Because banks are failing all the time. I mean, the banking system is so freaking fragile. I had another incident with banks in the last 24 hours that just reminded me the whole Western banking system is on its last legs. It will not last much longer. It's done. I mean, it doesn't work. It just breaks. It's non-functional. So I'm even wondering if there are these hackers, do they really have to do that much? Because the banking system is almost like self-imploding anyway. But all right, from the story, so several hacker groups known, hacktivists of Killnet, they're called, along with representatives of Reval, that's like the word evil with an R in front, I guess, Reval, as well as members of Anonymous, say they've joined together to achieve this goal. So reportedly, these three groups are working together to bring down the European banking system. And apparently they've published a promo video dedicated to the attack. And they call on all active groups to engage in, quote, destructive activities against the European banking system. Now, and they say the following. This is not a DDoS attack. The games are over. Quote, no money, no weapons, no Kiev regime. This formula will work, promises a masked man in one of the videos. So this is, I guess this is getting at least partially political against the Kiev regime. But I want to point out, I mean, way beyond the Kiev regime, the entire Western Europe regime is totalitarian evil. You know, anti-human Satanists and lunatics and greed-driven authoritarians who just want to enslave humankind. So even without Kiev being mentioned, even without the Russia or Ukraine being part of this, I see a future where a lot more groups, you know, hacktivists or otherwise, push back hard against the corrupt fiat currency printing regimes, the central banks, the corrupt governments, the rigged elections, the wide open borders, the pedophilia targeting your children, all this stuff. I'm seeing a lot more pushback coming from here forward. And my guess is this is just part of it. And by the way, well, I mean, let's just be honest. If you wanted to defeat evil in our world, you would have to count Western Europe's banking system as kind of high on the list of evil enemies that need to be, choose my words carefully, need to be brought back into balance with the future of human civilization. Let's put it that way. I mean, these banking elitists are pure evil. And the same thing is true about the Federal Reserve in the United States and other central banks around the world. It's pure evil. They print money from nothing, effectively confiscating money from everybody else, and then they use that money to buy power and influence and corruption and bribes and propaganda and gaslighting and everything else. So, yeah, you know, they say the root of all evil is the love of money, but I think we need to modify that. Seems like, yeah, but maybe the root of evil is the printing of money, because that's what has led us to where we are right now. So I'm not saying that I do not condone, you know, illegal cyber hacking crimes or whatever. That's not something I condone. But I understand that a lot of people are pissed off all over the world after being oppressed and enslaved and have had their businesses shut down with COVID lockdowns that are pushed by the globalists, and people have seen their loved ones die and become disabled because of the bioweapon injections. I understand why people are pissed off. I do. I get it. I completely get it. I don't condone cyber hacking, but I understand why people are pissed off. So let's see if they're successful or not in this. I mean, I guess we can just watch for the next 48 hours or so and just see what happens to the Western banking system, or at least European banking system. But again, on any given day in America, how would I even know if hackers have brought the banks down? Because I can barely get banks to work anyway. It's almost like every day hackers have brought it down or something's wrong. These banks, they don't know how to make anything function. It's unbelievable. It's so odd to see my predictions coming true in this way, where, you know, I've always said the banking system was going to collapse. I just didn't realize it was going to keep collapsing every day to the point where it's totally incompetent and non-functional. You can't even write checks. You can't cash checks. You can't move money. You can't send wires. Like, nobody knows anything. The bank tellers are morons. Like, I didn't think it was going to collapse like this, but it's Idiocracy, you know, Brondo. All right. Shifting gears here. Remember the interview I did the other day with David Sorensen that was exposing all the pedophilia, the child grooming, the child trafficking, the WHO pushing all this stuff in public schools? You know, they want the sexualization of children in the school. Like, they actually want teachers and counselors to rape little children as part of their public education. Oh, yeah, the Vatican is involved. Of course they are. Well, I got a lot of reaction to that interview, and frankly, a lot of people were very happy that we did that interview, although they were horrified by it. They would tell me things like, you know, it was horrifying to listen to that, but I couldn't stop listening. This is all true. Well, here's a story that's also kind of in the same category. This one from the UK Daily Mail. I get this. This comes out of Harvard Medical School. All right, so the... Remember how I've done interviews with people before about the body parts trade and body organs and everything? And there's still a lot of people who don't believe it. Like, yeah, that doesn't happen in America. Yes, it does. Listen to this. Harvard Medical School morgue manager, quote, stole heads, brains, skin, bones from donated bodies. All right, like, I'm not done. That's just part of the headline. The second half is even more creepy. Quote, and took them to his New Hampshire home where he and his wife sold them. Okay. So this person, I'm not going to name, is said to have stolen the remains from cadavers that were donated to the prestigious University for Scientific Research and Education. So you donate your body for medical research because you think you're a good person. And then it ends up they slice the head off your dead body. They fillet your skin, take it home. They take it home and then they sell them. So this man is accused of taking the remains back to his home, selling them onto buyers with his wife. This filing states that this man took the dissected body parts to his home in Goffstown, New Hampshire, where he and his wife sold them on as part of a national network of human remains traffickers. And some of the remains, the story says, were shipped through the United States Postal Service. Which strikes me as odd, only because the USPS is so unreliable. How would you even know that the brains made it? Right? I mean, if you're a body parts trafficker, seriously, would you choose the US Postal Service? I mean, probably not. You'd probably want to ship that through FedEx or something. Anyway... Oh, jokes aside, sick jokes. U.S. Attorney's Office believes that he has engaged in the unlawful trafficking of human remains between 2018 through 2022 while working in the morgue as part of the university's anatomical gift program. Okay, it's an anatomical gift program. Okay. The school is now working with federal authorities to determine which donors may have been affected. And get this, they've set up a hotline for donors' families to access information and support. Now, how does that go? Thank you for calling Harvard Medical School Body Parts Trafficking Hotline. Are you an affected family member? I don't know. Harvey died. We donated his body to medical science to Harvard. And... now I don't know what's missing. Well, according to our records, ma'am, our morgue director sliced his face off and shipped it through the postal service and it was lost. So we're not getting that back. Your late husband's face is gone. Sorry. Oh my God. Do you have a support counselor I can talk to? I mean, how does this go down? I'm not trying to mock the family members here. I'm mocking Harvard setting up this. Why don't you just, you know, apologize and maybe pay settlement money to all the families? Maybe they will do that. But that's what they should do. And frankly, why don't you just shut down the whole program? Because these universities in America, so many of them are involved in body parts trafficking and organ harvesting, working with the hospitals too. You know they kill patients in the hospital to harvest their organs, right? You know this. I mean, technically they keep them alive, but they pronounce them brain dead, and then they harvest their organs. It happens all the time. It's routine. It's a profit center for the hospitals and the whole transplant industry. And so be very careful if you ever have a loved one that is on the verge of death. Be careful. Make sure they're not an organ donor. Because if they're an organ donor, the hospital can keep them alive and in some cases even conscious, but just sedating their ability to speak, but they are fully experiencing it while their organs are cut out, by the way. And then that goes to the Prophet Center for the hospital, and there's this whole network, as you're hearing about in this story. I'm not going to get any more graphic about this because it's sickening, right? But let's see. Several buyers have been named in the indictment, including this dude in Pennsylvania and this woman in Massachusetts. And it says that these people were allowed access into the morgue at Harvard Medical Center where they could shop for what body parts they wanted to purchase. And then the morgue director would chop them off, slice them up, slice them and dice them, wrap them up. Here, you can have these parts. And then they would pay. And then this couple would sell the remains to other buyers in multiple states. Oh my God. And they would tan some of the skin and make it into leather. Oh my God, it puts the lotion in the basket. That's where this is going. Oh my God. Now I'm looking at a picture of the guy that's one of the buyers. I can't even show you this picture. Let me just describe it. 100% demon. Like half his face is tattooed as a scaly lizard. He's got metal spikes embedded into his skull. His lips are pierced in multiple locations. His earlobes are filled with giant rings. One of his eyes has been artificially darkened to look like a deep black hole. That's what this guy looks like. Other than that, looks normal. And he... What the... Is this a joke? I can't believe what I'm seeing. I'm going to have nightmares. I can't even show you this. Okay, look, you want to see this? Let me give you the title again. Go to UK Daily Mail, or it's actually just dailymail.co.uk, all right? Search for the following headline, if you dare. Harvard Medical School morgue manager. Stole heads, brains, skin, whatever. You'll be able to find the story. I dare you, scroll down quite a ways to look at the picture of the like Frankenstein dolls that this couple was selling using human body parts. Here's a little demon. Oh my gosh, it's a little demon creature with demon horns. It's like a demonic Chucky devil. Oh my gosh. I regret even covering this story now. I've been psychologically traumatized. Anyway, we're going to move on. This is oh my. People, we are in a spiritual war. There's a demonic vortex that has opened up and demons are pouring through. I mean, have no question about that. I mean, this is proof. This story is absolute proof. And now I'm glad I'm doing audio only. I wouldn't want to subject you to what I just saw. That is, oh my gosh. Who sells body parts for money? I mean, of all the businesses that you could get into, it's like, oh, you want to be a TikTok star? Nah. Here, the body parts organ trafficking business is looking pretty good these days. What about that one? Like, who does that? Who looks around and of all the things that you could do, you know, I could farm and grow food. I could sell garden seeds. You know, I could invest in cryptocurrency. I could make smoothies on the beach or whatever. But no, how about taking body parts out of the morgue? Who does that? Again, demon-infested people do that. That's... There you go. All right, let's shift gears, thank God, to an article out of the Daily Signal. Here it is. A state senator, his name is Wilson? Oh, yeah, Scott... No, I'm sorry. Scott Wilk. All right, he's been in the legislature for 11 years. Tells parents to flee California amid bill that would take kids away from non-affirming parents. In other words, this bill, what's it called here? AB 957. This bill would, like, if you're a parent and you have a child, and your child one day, because of all the brainwashing and gaslighting in the schools, your child comes home all demonically infested and says, I think I'm a girl, or the other way around, whatever. And if you say, no, you're not, then you could be arrested and have your children taken from you, because you would be charged with child abuse for not allowing your child to be mutilated. You understand? This is California right now. Oh my gosh. So here's what he said. Again, Senator Scott Wilk, who I guess he's the lone voice of reason now in the California legislature. He says, quote, "I'm now in year 11 in the state legislature, and all the time we're proposing policies to protect children. After 11 years, I've come to the conclusion that we need to start protecting parents. I've been here and I've witnessed a full frontal assault on charter schools." That's no joke. It's a frontal and it's a rear assault on charter schools. It's both. Taking away parents' choice in how their children are going to be educated to the detriment, particularly of children of color, he says. In recent years, we put government bureaucrats between parents, children, and doctors. And now we have AB 957, where if a parent does not support the ideology of the government, children are going to be taken away from the home. From the home. And he wraps it up with the following quote. "If you love your children, you need to flee California. You need to flee." Seriously. Seriously. I told you this was coming. Seriously. You need to flee California. So, remember I talked about we're going to have refugees fleeing California. You know, parents with their children. Trying to save their children from the state mutilators. And the state of California will probably have highway checkpoints where they'll have like surgeons with scalpels and they'll have child medical kidnappers at the ready and your vehicle stopped at the checkpoint. You have children, you know, and if you haven't hidden them well, you know, the state will just, "We're taking your children because you don't agree with gender affirming care." And then they yank the children out of your car, like throw them in the back of a portable surgical center and just like slice them up right there. It's like, now you're inclusive. Now you're free to go. Yeah, that's California. That's what it's coming to. You think that's science fiction? No, it isn't. It's about to become state law, actually. It's about to become law. AB 957. Uh-huh. That's how insane it is. So it makes you wonder, if they do that, like what other crazy thing would they do next? By the way, don't you love it when the media says these Canadian wildfires are all caused by the climate somehow? It's climate change fires. As if carbon dioxide would just set everything on fire. No, doesn't work that way, actually, turns out. And there have been multiple arrests of arsonists who are setting some of these wildfires, that's for sure. And then, of course, a lot of people wondering if there's some deep state operation setting the fires as well, and what might be the agenda behind that. I think it's to push the climate lockdown emergency, which is coming, because I think the powers that be have come to realize that COVID lockdowns are not going to work as well the second time around here, because people are wising up to that. But perhaps they think they could get away with climate lockdowns. But to do that, well, they're going to have to set a lot of fires and, you know, destroy a lot of skylines and make people choke. And then maybe people will be convinced that, oh my gosh, the climate's in trouble. Lockdown, no cars for you. You're locked in your apartment, just like with COVID, but different emergency. We are in the era of endless government emergencies, by the way, and still trying to figure out how to heal the COVID emergency nonsense. In fact, coming up here is my second interview with Dr. Ed Group, and our topic of discussion is how to heal from spike protein damage. Yeah, that's coming up here today on the show. It's actually an in-studio video interview. So Dr. Group was in the studio last week, and this is the second part of our conversation that we're going to air here tonight. So should be interesting. Can you do something to get the spike protein out of your body or to protect yourself from other people who are shedding on you with the spike protein? Yeah, there are things you can do. Dr. Group lays a lot of it out in the upcoming interview. And don't forget that we have products now at healthrangerstore.com that have been formulated by Dr. Ed Group. And one of them that we just announced, which has been very popular, is a combination of elderberry and echinacea in a glycerin extract. So it tastes really great. It's not alcohol, it's glycerin. And talk about immune support. Wow, great combination. Outstanding formulation by Ed Group, combined with all of our lab testing, so you know it's ultra clean and it's been tested for all the things that we cover, the heavy metals, the glyphosate, and so much more, and also yeast and mold and microbiology and E. coli, all that stuff. So the safest, most potent product in the marketplace that exists today. Available now, healthrangerstore.com. Just search for elderberry and echinacea, or just you can search for just elderberry. It'll probably bring it up. That's a Dr. Ed Group formula. And we've got more formulas with Dr. Group coming out here at healthrangerstore.com. I really love that guy. He's got a lot of great information, and he's happy to share it. Now, let's talk about Taiwan for a little bit here. China is, of course, always trying to move on Taiwan. It seems like they're getting more aggressive lately. And there are rumors that the U.S. State Department may soon be asking Americans in Taiwan to evacuate the island nation, the nation where I once lived. By the way, I lived in Taipei for a couple of years. Yeah, I lived right on Xinyi Lu, which is one of the main roads there off, in Taipei. It's kind of central Taipei. And, I love the Taiwan people. It's a great country. It's a wonderful culture to get to know. I'm so thankful that Taiwan exists and for the Taiwan people. And I'm very, very concerned that Joe Biden is going to try to exploit the people of Taiwan as a weapon against China in exactly the same way he's exploiting the people of Ukraine as a weapon against Russia. I'm very concerned. I think that Biden and his insane State Department lunatics, Victoria Nuland and others, and Blinken and who knows what else, plus whatever demons are bouncing around inside their skulls, they're going to try to start a war with China and get Taiwan destroyed in the process. That's probably where this is headed. If you are listening to this from Taiwan, of course, you're probably well aware of the situation. But I think a lot of people in Taiwan are trying to just dismiss this because they don't want it to scare them. So they just say, oh, that would never happen. Well, that's what people in Ukraine said until a little over a year ago. They said, oh, it's just talk. It'll never happen. Russia will never invade. They always talk about it. They never do it. And then, kaboom, February, 22nd, 23rd, they invaded. So yeah, this can happen. And we need to be very, very cautious. Be ready. If you're in Taiwan or if you know people in Taiwan, make sure they're aware of the risk. And they may want to consider getting out of Taiwan while they still can. All right, now, have you yet watched any of the new documentaries on brightu.com? That's Brighttown University. And you can go there right now, brightu, just the letter U, brightu.com, and you can register to watch Tiptoe to Tyranny for free. It's actually playing right now. And that plays through June 20th, I believe. And then we will start promoting the next free documentary that will launch the following Saturday. And every Saturday or two, we have a new documentary that you can watch for free. So go there and register now. It's free to watch. Tiptoe to Tyranny is by Chris Harrigan. And it's a powerful documentary. And it features people like Luke Radowski and Dan Dix, Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, Del Bigtree, and many other people in the documentary. So check it out. It's worth watching. And by the way, we have another episode coming out soon of the Breaking Point documentary series that I produced. It got delayed, but we have Chapter 4 that's going to come out here shortly. It's in final production. Chapter 4 is about vaccines. And so we have a lot of great people in that one. I mean, Judy Mikovits and J.D. Rucker's in there and so many more. You're going to love that. And then episode 5 is about the supply chain collapse that has been engineered. We've got Gregory Mannarino in there, a bunch of other great people. So you don't want to miss that. And that's going to run at brightu.com. We appreciate your support there, as always. So with that said, let's just jump into the interview with Dr. Ed Group. I think you'll enjoy this one a lot. It's about, again, how to deal with the spike protein. Can you eliminate it? Can you disable it? Can you nullify the spike protein? There are some answers, not total answers, but some answers, some good information that you're going to find in this interview. Enjoy it. And I'll be back with you tomorrow with more interviews. Let me see. Who am I interviewing tomorrow? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. I'm interviewing Brandon. I'm not going to give you his last name. It's not Let's Go Brandon, but it's a Brandon. We're going to interview Brandon, and you're going to love it. Should be lots of fun. And then I have a really special guest in studio on Friday. I'll be filming it on Friday, and we'll play that for you either over the weekend or on Monday. Bombshell information from an in-studio guest that will blow your mind. I mean, really, you're going to love this one. So all that coming up, and stay tuned next right here for the Ed Group interview. This is the part two section of the conversation that I had with him in studio just a few days back. Enjoy it, and we'll talk with you tomorrow with more information. Thanks for listening. Brighteon Broadcast News. Here we go with the interview. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the founder of Brighteon, and today I'm joined in studio by Dr. Ed Group, the founder of Global Healing Center. And today we're talking about spike protein detox, what works and what doesn't work. Welcome to the show, Ed. It's great
to have you
here.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to see you again.
It's great.
Love your studio. Love everything about your warehouse, your operations here. It's just been enlightening and amazing to hang out with you.
Well, it's far too long since we got together, so I'm really having a lot of fun hanging out with you. Just so our audience knows, your company and my company are partnering on a product line together, all formulated by you, all the lab testing by us. And here's one of them is the elderberry echinacea combination. Show us what's on the side of the desk there. Yeah, those are some of your products that we're carrying at our store. That's why you're here, but that's not the topic of this conversation. For this conversation, we want to know from your research, is spike protein toxicity, is it something that can be solved nutritionally? Now, I also want to caution you about, you know, FDA and FTC regulations. So we're not going to talk about any specific products here. We're going to talk about general principles. But you can talk about other approaches out there, whether you think they work or do not work, in terms of dealing with spike protein toxicity. So what does your research tell you on that point?
Well, let me go back in time a little bit to when the pandemic happened, and I was one of the advisors on the COVID task force for the president. And our team was to search for anything that could be used to help heal the body of the symptoms that they might have been going through with this so-called COVID pandemic that we were being led to believe was some serious situation. Very, very shortly on, we knew that this was basically a hoax. But we were bringing in different types of products and different types of natural things and submitting those to the White House. And we knew fairly early on that those were not being looked at or not being implemented. So that's when our research began. And then we disassociated from that, the team, and then I had my own research team. In conjunction, I also follow people like you and follow people, all around that are bringing in research. Not just one person can do it. But I've been doing research my whole life, starting with the root cause of disease research team how I really got into this 25 years ago. And so what we've discovered and other people have discovered is that exactly what we've been talking about even in 2017 and 2018, when myself, you, Alex Jones, we were all starting to come out and saying, listen, this is their plan. Their plan, anyone could read it if they dig deep enough, is to create a transhumanism population, but to kill off the majority of the population. They're useless eaters. And to create a pandemic that they could use to where people would literally be in so much fear, they would be lining up to get injected with whatever they were going to
inject. A depopulation bioweapon.
It's a bioweapon. Yeah, right. That's exactly what it is. It's not a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. So what we found is the rabbit hole gets very, very deep. When you look at lipid nanoparticle technology, when you look at hydrogel technology, when you look at the patents of the quantum dot technology, the ability really to create another strand of DNA, but to use nanotechnology to control humanity.
Right.
Either kill humanity or control humanity, depending on what they want to achieve. So what we've identified, and right now there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of confusion out there. You know, there's many different doctors that are going to these, you know, conventions, that are talking on social media channels, and they're all talking about this spike protein. Out of looking at everybody's research, I would say that in evaluating the patents and looking at, if you can find them, you know, clinical trials or studies, which I'm not really that big of a fan of anyway, because most of them are falsified. I would say that Dr. Brian Artis's research is the closest to what's really going on. And then also Karen Kingston's stuff regarding the deep look into the patents of the quantum technologies that are involved. But if you remember, a lot of people have forgotten this, but during Operation Warp Speed was also Operation Telecommunications going on at the same time. Those videos have been pretty much wiped clean, but there are still a few videos out there of President Trump with the telecommunications operators saying, we're going to put in as many towers as we possibly can, as fast as we can. And it all makes sense when you start lining things up of how they're doing this whole process. You know, what we're hearing is, oh, spike proteins, but it gets way, way deeper than that is what we're finding.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about external activation of perhaps self-assembling nanocircuits and things like that.
Absolutely,
the body, right?
Absolutely.
That's what a lot of Karen Kingston's research.
It even goes back to David Icke's research and the reptilians is what we're finding working with Dr. Artis. It's mind blowing when you start looking at the symbolism of snakes, and then combine that with David Icke's research on the reptilians, and you start understanding more and more that the snake mRNA glycoproteins makes the mRNA very resistant. mRNA is very...
Yeah. Hold on. The venom peptides are a very real thing. I just want to say something to clarify to the audience. You know, I think David Icke has been vindicated in so much of this. And now David Icke, I mean, even I, years ago, first time I heard David Icke talking about some of this, I'm like, this dude's nuts. How could this possibly be the case? You know, it was so off the wall at the time, right? It's just like, wow, are you kidding me? And then... little by little, it comes out that all the things that David Icke was warning about are actually true. You know, we learn about the royal bloodlines and the consumption of the ambrosia, which is the blood of children, you know, and then you find, oh, there's an FDA-approved ambrosia transfusion center in California taking blood of youth and selling it to the wealthy elite. Like, that was an FDA-approved company, by the way. So... again and again, and then when Brian Artis came out, and you know, a lot of people didn't believe what he was saying either, you know, about venom, snake poisons, or let's say molecules modeled after, you know, cone snail peptides,
venom peptide,
toxins, and so on. Dr. Artis, he's not saying that anybody went around the world like milking snake fangs. He's saying that the molecules are modeled on the venom peptides. And then I did a couple of deep dive research articles on Natural News looking at all that there are companies that license venom peptides to the pharmaceutical industry. And you can go in, you can license peptides of the cone snail, of the Gila monster, of the black widow, and they use these in medicines. So they were right. They were right the whole time. I want to say that publicly, you know, to David Icke and Dr. Brian Artis, because it's easy to mock them, but they actually had it right the whole time.
Now, because of the stability in those peptides, in those venom peptides, they're extremely powerful and strong. It's very hard to degrade those.
Right.
And that's why they're using them. And it fits perfectly into the whole reptilian agenda. And looking back even, you know, thousands of years ago, where they used snakes and poisons and things like that to control and the whole satanic agenda. So what we've identified is what we're looking at is, okay, what is their plan? Like, how are they trying to really get us infected or kill us or to transhumanize us? And the first thing that we found was that they're trying to attack our DNA. Okay. And our DNA, to a certain degree, especially with the people that have received the bioweapon, will produce these spike venomous glycoproteins. And if you look at a venom glycoprotein, it looks exactly like the molecule that they're showing is COVID, with the little circle with all the spikes on it. So it's basically what they're saying is COVID is actually a venom, a peptide glycoprotein organism that can create all kinds of damage in the system. So we have the areas that we're trying to address on our research team is, okay, so let's say that somebody does do that, or let's say now they're putting mRNA, growing it in vegetables, they can spray it in the air, it can be in the water, they're injecting cattle with it. So, you know, eventually we're probably gonna, if we haven't already, all be exposed to different types of venom peptides and mRNA.
Right, well, just to be clear, we know they're injecting pork with it, but the cattlemen's groups out there are saying not yet cattle.
Well, in the U.S.
Right, right. So, but they're not saying that they won't do it soon.
They're not saying that they won't do it. But then again, you know, what kind of water are they feeding to the cattle? What kind of food are they feeding to the cattle? You know, that there's.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before they adopt.
Their main mission is to get it in every single one of us because they want it, and they want us to administer it to ourselves.
They want you to line up and take the shot. But also they want you to shed on other people.
Exactly.
In other words, the unvaccinated, the only way they're going to poison the unvaccinated is to get the vaccinated. It's like this. No, check this out. You know how you can buy an ant poison that the ant picks up and takes back to the nest and kills the other ants that didn't get the poison? That's the vaccine. It's like they're going to make the vaccinated spike protein generators to poison the unvaccinated. Same thing.
Sharing bodily fluids with people and all of that. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So we have the DNA aspect of it. You know, they're trying to, you know, transhumanize our DNA. So that's one area that we need to find a solution for. How do we reverse the damage done from a extraterrestrial or some sort of an other animal type mRNA that they've put into us? And the second thing is you have to understand which is really the breaking news that I'll share today, which is we've just uncovered in the last month, really last couple months, is an area that no one is looking at. And that's kind of what, when you look at these evil people, they're going to show you and everybody's going to be talking about this. But what you should really be asking is what's behind that? What's behind that? What are they really doing?
You mean beyond exterminating the human race?
No, beyond the narrative of the DNA and our cells and attacking our cells and the mRNA going into our cells.
Okay.
What we found is that's not really their main mechanism of action. That's what everybody believes, but that's not what their really main mechanism of control and destruction is. What we've uncovered is it goes like this, and they're attacking our cells, but our cells are still pretty resilient because we have two components to our original cell structure. We have a physical component and we have a spiritual component. The spiritual component is our vibrational signature that is exclusive to us only. That's why we're all a little bit different. And it's just like you cut your leg off and you can take a picture, curly in photograph, and you can still see the energy of the leg. Uh-huh. If you have phantom leg pain, they can still feel their toes.
Right. There's an energetic structure of the physiology.
Yeah. So science looks at the physical part of the DNA and they discount the spiritual part of the DNA, which is our God-given electric vibrational quantum signature specifically to us. That's a little bit, they're still, I think, trying to figure out how, you know, they're trying to play God, but I think they're still trying to figure out how to alter that. But they know how to alter the physical DNA, okay?
Right, right.
And that's and been proven with CRISPR technology and
protein synthesis and exactly. ribosomes, yeah.
So that's the first thing. What do we, you know, our research team is like, okay, how do we protect our own DNA? What do we do? How do we, let's say if someone does receive the bioweapon and they do have those changes take place, which, by the way, it's extremely difficult to they know this. It's extremely difficult to test to see what amount of DNA damage that someone actually has. I've talked to Ryan Cole on the phone, Dr. Ryan Cole, and I'm like, do you know of a way that we could send somebody in and they can, of a test we can use and say, oh yeah, your DNA is now 10% reptilian, or your DNA has been damaged, or you're starting to grow a third strand or whatever.
But there's no easy way to do that. I mean, you'd have to assess every cell.
And they know that.
Yeah.
They know that's why this is a bioweapon, because they know you can't go get tested and say, oh, I only have 30% of my original DNA left or whatever.
No, there's
so
no,
it's extremely
no way to do
difficult
that.
To be able to test for this stuff that they're using.
Yeah, but I think some of these globalists, if there was such a test, they would only test like 2% human.
Well, see, people say, well, right? Why are they doing like, this to themselves? I get that question. It's like, they already are part reptilian. The people at the top, they're already, you know, they've been in.
Like, you think they have a different DNA. They actually have different DNA.
I think they already have a different DNA. I've literally seen pictures of some shape-shifting scenarios that have been sent to me. And I think part of the reason they're sacrificing the children is because they've already been able to inject these reptilian-based genes into children. And the reason they use children's blood is because of the stem cells. And they can then they eat the children. Then they drink the blood of the children. They do the adrenochrome. The urine actually is very similar. Urine is filtered blood plasma. That's all it is. It's the sterile version. It still has undifferentiated stem cells in it with your original code, that your spiritual code. So I think that, you know, all this child sacrifice and all this stuff goes way, way deeper. We don't have time to probably get into how deep it goes.
No, we want to cover the spike protein situation.
That. So the spike protein situation, the reason why I'm talking so much about DNA is because your DNA can start producing spike proteins. And how do you repair the DNA? Well, we talked about it on your show a little bit. We won't go into that in depth, but we've only found so far two ways that can repair your DNA. One is with urine therapy, and the other one is with water-only fasting. Because you cannot go to a supplement store and say, hey, can I have that supplement with my original energetic vibrational code that God gave me?
Right.
The only way you're going to get that is from yourself some way. So those are the only two ways that we know by science. I mean, that Wake Forest did a study and has proved that your urine contains undifferentiated stem cells, and water-only fasting, with the studies on autophagy that have been done over the years, show that you produce undifferentiated stem cells through, you know, day three or whenever you go into ketosis. So the spike protein produced by your own cells, those are the only two solutions we know about. Maybe there's other ones out there yet. I don't know. But those are the only two that we know about so far.
But how do you, okay, hold on a second. But if your cells have been taken over to some degree to churn out the spike proteins, you're continuing to poison yourself from the inside. And another question, you kind of mentioned this earlier off air, but you know how there are more non-human cells inside the body because of the microbiome, you know, all of the microbiology that's inside your body. Isn't it possible that a lot of those single-celled organisms are being hijacked and being turned into spike protein factories as well?
Well, that's the breaking news, because what we found out is probably 90% of the spike proteins that are being produced in people's bodies are being produced by the parasites. So when I remember I said there was two mechanisms of action that they're really using, and everybody's talking about this one, which is your own cells. But what we're finding out is your cells are a little bit more resilient than what they believed they are. Their main way to attack you, what we're finding out, is through the parasites.
Because when you say parasites,
okay, let's talk about parasites.
Like just single-celled microbes or multicellular
The true definition of a parasite is anything that lives or does damage to a host mechanism. It's a harmful organism. Right. There's good E. coli and there's bad E. coli. Like there's good auto mechanics, there's bad auto mechanics. There's good fungus, there's bad fungus. I mean, what we're talking about is the negative or the bad. You know, the what they're using. So everybody has, and we've been talking about this for years, Mike, is that one of the main mechanisms of disease today, just like Royal Raymond Rife said, is that all disease has a parasitical component to it. He wrote that in all of his notes, and he even said, I can view living organisms at 100,000x, but there are worlds beyond worlds beyond worlds that I haven't even been able to view yet. Hulda Clark said the same thing. All disease is associated with parasites. Parasites make your body acidic because parasites go to the bathroom in your body. What's a parasite? A parasite is a fungus, a mold, a bacteria, a worm, a spirochete, you know, everything. You know, people just assume parasites are worms, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
A parasite can be another person in your life that's draining the energy from you and the vibrations from you.
Yeah.
Parasite is basically anything that does harm to your body. And now, for the first time ever since we've been alive, not only do we have God-created biological-based parasites, but we have synthetic parasites that are controllable through frequencies. So our cells, our own body cells, might be kicking out, you know, being changed and kicking out a percentage of spike proteins. But why do you think people were getting better on ivermectin? Why do you think people were getting better on hydroxychloroquine?
Anti-parasite.
Why do you think people were getting better on all the anti-parasiticals?
Right.
Because you're killing the main mechanism of action. Now, we can go into a long history and conspiracy that I've been doing over the last few months about how they're incorporating, breaking up families, making people turn to alcohol, which feeds parasites, making people, obesity is rising. They're feeding people more sugar to feed the parasites. And so we have DNA that we need a solution for. We have to get rid of all the parasites in the body. It's the number one thing people need to do right now. They got to get rid of all the fungus, the mold, the yeast, the worms, everything. You know, we're finding that just like doing ivermectin once a week or something like that is not enough. You need multiple different anti-parasiticals specific to that. You need to be on those on a regular basis. It's not do a parasite cleanse once every 6 months. It's like do a parasite cleanse once a week with multiple different things. So killing off all the parasites, what we've been noticing with the different protocols we've been using is all these people's conditions are actually going away.
That's fascinating.
You're getting at the point. What's happening is these parasites are becoming manufacturing facilities.
Wow.
For spike proteins.
Right, right.
And there are multiple. We're testing 40, 50, 60 different types of venoms being produced in people's bodies.
Because we don't really know all the protein synthesis instruction sequences that are in mRNA injections. We don't really know.
No.
I mean, nobody.
No, we don't.
You can't take one of those shots and like sequence it and find out what they all are. First of all, nobody, if you go to a pharmacy and say, hey, I want to buy the vaccine, but I don't want to take it. I just want to like, give me the vial. I want to buy the vial and take it for testing. They will say, no, we can only inject it into you. Right.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to look at it or study it. They just want you to take it.
So parasites, when exposed, for example, there's a study on mold, and when mold is in your body and it's exposed to electromagnetic frequencies in different ranges. And by the way, these towers that you see everywhere, they have not just installed 5G. They've already installed 6G capabilities. They've installed microwave. They've installed different types of long range
weapon
acoustical platforms in these towers that you see. So now we're for example, E. coli, they're using E. coli because it's very resilient, and most of these parasites have other parasites within them.
That's right.
So like a tapeworm can have multiple types of fungus inside of it. It can have multiple types of E. coli inside of it. It is crazy to think of this world that they're controlling, which they're trying to basically turn you into a controllable parasite. And the research that we're finding, for example, if you expose E. coli to certain ranges of 5G frequencies, it causes E. coli to rapidly ingest sugars in the body. And so when the sugar seems to be a major component of these parasites, when 5G is kicked on or any type of these frequencies, it increases the spike protein production or these poison production by 100-fold. Like the mold study was like 400,000 times the replication rate when it's exposed to frequencies.
And you know, that brings up something else. I've noticed that people who are vaccine damaged are hypersensitive to environmental molds and fungi. But that would make sense because they're already, some of those molds or other parasites are already producing in some way the spike protein toxin internally. So they're already close to their tipping point of what their system can handle. And then a little bit of external exposure crosses that tipping point, and then they have horrific side effects.
Right now we're finding that everybody's different. Some people have really, really bad side effects, especially diabetics, and just depends on lifestyle, sugar consumption, alcohol consumption, your proximity to different 5G towers.
Right.
Most people don't know that Comcast routers in your home already have 5G capabilities turned on. If you read the 20-page list, you will see that they can use the router inside your house to turn on 5G. You have to call them up and ask them to disable it from your wireless router inside your home, and you have to go through a whole process to do that.
Are you talking about just the Wi-Fi operating on 5G
frequencies? I'm talking about the
Wi-Fis
that you have in your home, the routers that you transmit your Wi-Fi through your house. Most of them now actually have 5G capability. 5G the downfall of 5G is it doesn't travel that far. That's why they cut down trees and stuff, because they want to have the 5G frequencies travel further, and that's why they're putting so many towers up, because it doesn't travel that far. But what they really want is they want it inside your home. They want 5G inside everybody's home.
Yeah, and people should be reminded, the G stands for gigahertz.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, billions, frequencies in the billions per second, right? And so I think before 5G, the most common one was 2.4G, right? But in terms of like your cordless phones and things like that, and even Wi-Fi. But now it's 5G. And you're right, 5G has a shorter range, but it carries more energy, which means it can cause more damage as that energy penetrates. And it does penetrate the skin. It goes into the blood and it alters the blood. You know, we've done stories about how it creates peroxynitrites in the blood, which are aggressive oxidizers, by the way. It'll just shred your vitamin C content in your blood. Just so if you're taking vitamin C, but you're exposed to 5G, the 5G is nullifying all your vitamin C, leaving you without antioxidants. I mean, a lot of people don't think about this interaction.
It's like what Masaru Emoto said right before he died. You know, out of all the things he tested that disrupted the crystalline structure of our water, which we should have for proper communication between the cells, because the extracellular fluid, very similar to seawater, is used for cellular communication, and that water should be in a crystalline structure. And he said the only thing that would prevent water from reforming in that crystalline structure was electromagnetic frequencies. Had those vials of water just in front of a TV.
It's like
it would never go back, because as long as you have those frequencies bombarding your body, it can never reform.
That's what's extraordinary. I mean, given the layers of toxins and assaults, like engineered assaults on the human body, it's almost amazing that we're alive. And I think if it wasn't for, you and I are heavy into nutrition. And, you see what I'm drinking here today, right? And all your products right there and so on. And you and I both, we live this. This is our lifestyle, right? Superfoods and detox and you know, playing mad scientist. I'm doing some interesting stuff with silver. I'll tell you about later on too, that will blow your mind, because I have a lab and I can test stuff. It gives me like crazy new toys to play with. But I believe, and I want to ask you this, I believe if it wasn't for nutrition, I wouldn't even be alive right now. I mean, if it wasn't for the superfoods that I live and that I also promote, I don't think I'd be alive. And I look around, and a lot of people, I mean, some people that I grew up with and went to high school with, already dead.
I know.
Already dead. You know, and I don't feel old. You know, I mean, I'm in my 50s. I don't feel old. People tell me I don't look like I'm in my 50s. You don't look like your age at all. Like, you look decades younger than your chronological age. It's got to be the nutrition.
Yeah.
Protecting us from all these assaults, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the message to our viewers is that nutrition is available to everybody who chooses to take that in. You can live healthier. You can live longer. You can live a more abundant, happier life with maybe pain-free, certainly a lot less pain if you have chronic pain, but it's not a simple fix. It's not a simple pill. It's not one thing. It's this holistic approach to understanding we live in a toxic world, and we have to take in the right nutrients, and we have to detox the toxins. And like you said, get the parasites out. Otherwise, we will be overrun by them.
Yeah, I would say like the number one priority right now would be to education is always the number one, which is really, you know, what you and I have been doing. People joke around and they say, you know, I've been listening to you for 20 years and you never even talk about your supplements on shows,
right,
which I don't,
right,
because it's like the main thing that we want to do is teach people how to become their own doctors, teach people how to be confident, how to clean up their environment, teaching them about the root cause of why they're sick to begin with.
Right.
That's the whole mission, but that it's all wrapped into that. It's like understanding that you are in a toxic world and the importance of cleaning and healing your gut, cleaning the liver out so your liver can process all these things. There's no way we can avoid it. We can't live in a, you could live in a bubble, but how much fun would that be? You know, it's like we have to live in this toxic world, but everything is in simplicity. That's what I've always really wanted to get people to know, because there's so much fear. There's so much, they've really done a good job at convincing people to look outside of themselves for solutions instead of really becoming that self-confident person and understanding how to take care of themselves. And
right,
of course that goes into the big media conspiracy and degradation and falsities. It's really like big media, big oil and gas, big pharma, big agriculture, all of these big education.
Poisons.
They poison the mind.
They do.
They poison the food, the body, the land.
They poison, you know.
Absolutely. Everything else. And so if you just understand the simplicity of that and you just take baby steps and keep changing your life and cleaning yourself up, then you can, you know, create the confidence that you need to be able to not rely so much on mainstream medicine. It's like you're taught, if you have a fever or your baby has a fever, to immediately grab
Take Tylenol
right, or Advil or something to bring the fever down. It's like,
that's crazy.
That's your body's natural immune system working. And if you look at any type of foreign protein or anything that could cause that type of reaction or sickness in your body, and we did this research back in the day when we were looking at hyperthermia for cancer cells, and we really believe that, like just like Rife does, that all cancer is fungus and foreign protein particles that get in and stop the apoptosis process, and then you start getting, you know, that those cells growing. That you have the ability to reverse all that by cleansing out your body and detoxifying your body and giving your system the things that it needs to heal itself, because it really comes down to everybody has a God-given self-healing mechanism.
True.
And the toxicity that you're exposing yourself to is just suppressing your body's own self-healing mechanism. And so the research we were doing, we found that cancer cells will die around 106.4 degrees. normal cells, your normal cells will die around 106.5, but for a little bit longer, you have to expose them a few minutes longer or even up to 15 minutes longer to that high temperature.
That's crazy high temperatures for human cells, though.
Because we've been told those are crazy high temperatures. Now, I mean, my son had a got sick one time, and I'll tell you, this is the craziest thing in my 20-something years happened, because I believe that I was testing it out to see if this was really true or not. That's why you heat cancer cells up and they die, but your normal cells will still survive. That would go into the same exact theory that Rice said, that all organisms die. There's no harmful organism that's not going to be killed between 99 degrees and 106.4 degrees. So my son has, both of my sons have had temperatures 102, 103, 104, and it just, boom, the next thing you know, it's gone. They're up playing around, running outside, playing football within 30 minutes. There was one of my sons, one time, where he had a really high fever. It was getting up, and it hit 106. But when it hit 106, I was a little bit nervous, I have to admit. I had an ice bath ready, because I was ready to throw him in an ice bath and just bring his temperature down, you know, really fast. I would not use any type of medicine to do that. I would use cold to do that.
Mm-hmm, right.
And his temperature got to 106, and the strangest thing happened. I had that one of those laser temperature readers, and I was literally every second doing this. Like, it was a constant thing. And it was 106. And the next time I did it, it was 105. It had dropped within 1 second from 106 to 105. And then it went back up to 106. And then it went back to 105.5. And then it went 106.2. And then it went 105 point. It started hovering between 105. And then all of a sudden, one time, it went 106.4. The next time I did it, it went 105.5, 105, 104.5, 104. It hit 106.4 for a second. That's all it needed. And then it started falling. It fell all the way back down to 98.6. And this complete shift happened, and he was just completely back to normal.
Really?
And got up and started running around, and that was it. I literally witnessed that myself. And I believe, you know, as healers, you've had many cases where you've had situations that it's almost like God or the universe showing you something if you're willing to, you know, submit to that experiment, if you want to call it or not. But it's trusting that God is showing you something that you can learn from.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was one of the most important things that I learned, is that, and one of the most vital things that's been suppressed from people is just letting your body heal itself.
Yeah. No, see, that's an extraordinary experience that you just related. And, you know, fever is a natural response, obviously, and so is swelling following an injury, for example. And I noticed that, of course, among a lot of people who've been brainwashed by TV ads and big pharma, it's like you said, immediately a fever, they say, oh, take a Tylenol, bring it down. Even they inject a child with a toxic vaccine. And then they say, well, if the child gets a fever, bring it down with Tylenol, which, by the way, can damage the liver, of course, and cause permanent liver damage with acetaminophen. And they never tell anybody, you know, take licorice root first to protect the liver from the damage that can be caused by Tylenol. But then the other thing is swelling. I mean, I'm an active person. I've had injuries and I've had issues where I've had swelling. And then sometimes even some people that I know, it's, oh, you got to bring that down. Like, why? Well, because it's just swelling. You can't have swelling. I'm like, I'm pretty sure swelling brings the blood to the injury that I need to repair. Like, swelling is like a cytokine storm of inflammation on purpose to bring the resources to heal the wound. And all they want to do is put ice on it, right? Like, you put ice on it, how's the blood going to flow to the wound if it's cold and sludgy and not there, not flowing, right? So I never understood what it is about people that they want to block the body's natural response, the healing process. They always want to block it.
It's completely backwards, you know, and sometimes I think to myself, what if every single thing, what if we're just literally like the Truman Show, we're living in this movie,
yeah.
And what if every single thing that we've been taught has just been fake? It's just a big deception. It's just a big lie.
That's what a lot of people are discovering right now.
Exactly.
It is a Truman Show.
It is. Yeah. It is. It just, you know, you got to sit back and just watch it all happen and just try to do the best you can for yourself and make sure that you love yourself and not get caught up in all the fear and the anxiety and the stress of everything. And just, there's so much you can do through prayer and meditation to heal the world and heal yourself. And if you really focus on healing yourself and bringing yourself to a whole nother vibrational state, I believe we're really all here to become enlightened beings. We're not, it's like, I've counseled so many billionaires and multimillionaires and all these individuals, and it's like the one, and I just ask them questions. It's like, what do you do for fun? And so many people can't answer that question. They'll just break down and cry. Like, what makes you happy in life?
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. And they'll always say, and I say, do you have any regrets in your life? Because these are individuals that are very highly successful financially, but they have lost lots of things in their life. One of the things I've learned from all those interviews is time is really the most valuable asset you have. Because what I've always heard from them is, I wish I would've. Uh-huh. I wish I would've spent more time with my family. You know, they were so devoted to money and work, which are physical things, which you cannot take with you
right.
in the afterlife. And they always say, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I would have spent more time working on myself, becoming more healthy. I wish I would have spent more time with my spiritual life. You know, so I've learned from them how to balance your life. People should balance their life and evaluate their life and spend more time looking at the things that you do and what you're spending your time doing. You can lose your money and get it back. You can lose your house and get it back. You can lose, you know, many of these things and get it back. But the one thing that you can never get back is time.
That's right.
So it's very important to really utilize your time efficiently and spend time working on yourself. Because the more that you become an enlightened being, and by the way, they did that on purpose. They, you know, that's part of their system, to dumb you down, to make you addicted, to make you watch videos for hours on end and not spend time understanding who you really are.
Yeah.
And the power that you really have.
Right, to dissociate you from yourself.
Yeah, disassociate you from yourself. That's the plan.
Well, and I mean, this has been fascinating, but speaking of time, let's wrap up this conversation, but I really honor the time that you're spending with us here. And I think as our viewers understand, this is about so much more than just nutrition or just supplements. This is about healing humanity. This is about even the spiritual layer to all of this, because we are in a spiritual battle here on this planet right now. There are truly anti-life demonic forces that are trying to contaminate us, infiltrate us, bring us down, destroy us, annihilate humanity. That's happening right now. We are living through that. And yet, the power of God and life and Mother Nature is so strong that if you invoke those things and bring them into your life, even the most evil Satanist won't be able to destroy you. Isn't that true?
Yes, absolutely. The real secret to life is that you do have the power within you to create whatever you want to create. It's just you have to start paying attention to yourself and raising your own vibrational frequencies and understanding the things that they're using to lower your vibrational frequencies,
true.
Which are the poisons and the parasites.
And the psychological warfare, the distractions, the race wars.
And
all
take
stuff
your kids
pushing
out of school.
Yes, amen.
This next generation is what I'm really concerned about. You know, they are getting groomed now. in every way, shape, and form. And we have to do what we should do. Take the responsibility. A family can always raise a child better than an institution.
Absolutely. And there is a groundswell of parents pulling their children out of these toxic schools. And homeschooling is no longer this tiny little fringe thing. Homeschooling is now becoming the only real education that children are getting. Public schooling is an atrocity. It's a brainwashing institution, right? So homeschooling doesn't even happen just in the homes, right? It happens among local community. Like homeschooling is just local schooling, actually, because the kids aren't just kept in the home. They go out and interact with other kids who are part of this homeschooling network. So they're still getting all the socialization and hopefully not getting shed on by a bunch of vaccinated kids in the public school system that are being, you know, dumbed down on purpose and lobotomized on purpose, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't you want your kids to be around other healthy kids? That's homeschooling.
And I've spent the last couple of years, and we just launched the globalhealinginstitute.org, which is a platform for educating, and all the courses that we have, we're working with homeschool organizations right now.
Really?
Even in homeschool organizations, they're still missing the vital information about how to teach kids to pay attention to their bodies, how mm-hmm. to teach kids how to read labels, how to teach kids basic nutrition, how to teach kids the root cause of disease. So I'm super happy about that. We actually just got certified accredited to offer a natural health coach certification.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's another thing project I've been working on in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Is because it's all about education. It's what you do 99% of the time is educate humanity. And we have to work on these kids, and there's so much demand right now because there are a lot of people waking up, which is a great thing. And that's what I'm saying. This is great times that we're going through. There's two ways to view it. You can view it as destructive and negative, or you could view it as very positive. And every time we've had a shift, a great awakening, you have to go through a lot of pain and trauma and suffering. It's just like interviewing addicts that have been clean for 10 years, but have spent 20 years in multiple rehab centers. And I've said, well, what was it? What was it that finally broke that? And you've been clean for 10 years. Something had to happen. Every single time they said, I had to hit rock bottom. Huh. I had to lose everything. I lost my wife. I lost my kids. I had to go through the most pain, the most trauma, the most suffering that I've ever gone through in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just clicked, and I've never touched that again. That's what we're going through right now, folks. We're going through, not for everybody.
Scale.
You know, people like us, we've already become awakened, but there's the awakened at the top, then there's the people in the middle, and then there's the people at the bottom that will never. Those are the ones that watch CNN every day, and those are the ones that are just going to run out for every single bioweapon. That's their destiny. That's their destiny. Maybe some of them are going to wake up and come, but right now there's a huge demand for the people in the middle that are becoming awake, that need us, that are just waking up to this, that are just beginning their journey in this great awakening. And it's up to us, because we all feel like we've been put on this planet to do exactly what we're doing right now.
That's right, yeah.
To help hold the hands of the people in need and to walk them through and to educate them to the path of enlightenment for this great awakening that's happening right now. Yes, there's going to be lots of death, and yes, there's going to be lots of destruction. But at the same time, this is what we need, because the whole world has been addicted and zombified.
No kidding.
The only thing that's going to awake them is to shake them up and to have them actually go through the pain and the trauma and the suffering.
Shake them to awake them.
Shake them to awake them. That's what's happening.
All right, folks. We could go on forever, but let's wrap this up. Dr. Ed Group here from Global Healing Center. And again, we're partnering on a really innovative line of products that Ed formulates, and we do all the lab testing. Those are available at healthrangerstore.com. Can you show us a side shot? Yeah, there's some of them right there. Thank you for all that you do, Ed. Thank you for your formulations. I love what you bring into these products. I mean, just top of the world, attention to detail, the research that you do, the passion that you put into this is just unrivaled. Like nobody brings this to you. You live this. This is your passion. And I just thank God that you're here. And I also thank God that you're here in Texas.
I know.
Because when we first met, I was in Arizona. And remember that?
Yeah,
I was in Arizona.
Absolutely.
And now we're
yeah.
fellow Texans. And you're not that far away, so we can do this again sometime.
Exactly. Yeah. And thank you for everything you do, Mike. I've been a huge fan, big supporter, and just love everything that you're doing.
Well, likewise.
You're a true patriot, a true man of God, and a true individual who's been enlightened to help humanity.
Well,
so thank you.
I don't know about enlightened. I'm still slogging through the muck here on planet Earth, but I'm doing the best I can and trying to bring truth and reality to as many people as possible. But thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you for watching. This is, of course, Brightown.com, Mike Adams, HealthRangerStore.com, NaturalNews.com. And if you want to go to Ed Group's website, it's GlobalHealing.com,
yep.
right?
Yeah, and Global Healing Institute, too, if you want to, you know, teach your kids how to learn about their body and take some courses and maybe even be a certified natural health coach with understanding and learning what no other school out there teaches, which is the truth.
Yeah,
how to become,
right.
how to fish Imagine. On your own, how to become your own doctor.
There you go. Okay. Thanks for watching today, everybody. God bless you. Take care.